Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex, and the Ghoul. Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
Welcome back to Dead Man's Party. We are here. It is time to revisit Sylvester Stallone, Sly himself, with 1986's Cobra. I'm here with Chris.
What's up, Chris?
What's up, brother?
In America, there's a burglary every 11 seconds, an armed robbery every 65
seconds. I can't do it. It's so ridiculous.
It's all ridiculous, and we're here to review it with my favorite co-host with a stocking cap over his face, the ghoul into your bed. What's up, man?
This is where the pod stops, and I start, sucker.
Yeah, you ready, pig? We're gonna review this, pig.
Pig! Wanna go to hell with me?
Oh god, this movie. Yeah, so
rewatching this, because it's been like a couple years since I last rewatched it, and I didn't realize this movie is fucking, I absolutely love this movie. It is amazing how it's a solid action horror, I would call it. Works just like Terminator, action horror.
Yeah, I'd say so. So real quick before we get into it, it was directed by Sylvester Stallone. It was written by Sly and Paul Gosling, starring Sylvester Stallone, Bridget Nielsen, Renny Santoni, Andrew Robinson, Brian Thompson from Terminator. We all know him in Terminator, right? His little thing with Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
For 2 seconds. John Hertzfeld. Lee Garlington. Now, you guys know her, right? From Psycho 2 and 3? The waitress?
It's been so long since I've seen those, but it definitely jogs a memory. Yeah.
And who is she in this movie?
She's the informant and also the cop.
Okay. She was in Psycho 2 and 3?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
She's a weird bitch.
Yeah, she is weird. She was even weird there. Art LaFleur. Everyone knows him from a million things. Trancers is one big one for me, but he's also in Sylvester Stallone's Lockup, I believe, right?
That's a blind spot on my Stallone stuff. I haven't seen that yet, but I remember him from, he's the dad in the 88 remake Mob.
Okay.
And he's also, I think, Babe Ruth in Sandlot.
Oh, yes. That's what I know him the most from, was the Sandlot.
Not Trancers?
I never saw Trancers.
The mass crowd that have seen Trancers are just, you know.
It's me and everyone who I really pushed it on. So what? Is this, like, as big to you as, like, Commando is to me?
This is probably... So it's tough to, like, decide. I was thinking about this last night. This is probably my favorite Stallone. Because... Oh, obviously.
Wow!
I know. So this thing, for me, it's like... I'm a big gun guy, so it's like, he's using guns, yeah. You got big guns there, Chris. So I'm like, I'm into that. But also, like, this movie is perfect because I didn't realize this until I rewatched it, paying attention. There is so few lines of dialogue in this fucking movie. And I think that, like, actually works to its benefit because it, like, just cuts right to it. It's just like, bang, 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 boom, you got your set pieces. the, you know, key scenes, and that's the thing. And I'm like, between that and then my other favorite Stallone movies are my favorites, but not even because of him. But no, this is my actual favorite, like, Sly movie. So
yeah, so this, like you said with the dialogue, this movie really went into it. It was 2 hours long, and it was completely all cut because of a couple reasons. So basically, a lot of the background, it was about that cult.
Yes.
Yeah, that was mostly what was cut. They did a lot of cuts because once Top Gun came out, like a week earlier, like they knew that was coming out, and that became a big... Now, they say this. I don't know how they could have cut a movie differently that quickly, like within a week. You would think the theaters would have had the cans shipped to them already. But they said they cut it shorter so that there would be more screenings of it and they could make more money because of that. Now, I don't know if I buy that entirely, but yeah, so supposedly, like, maybe it was just an excuse, but supposedly, like, a lot of all this stuff was sacrificed because of that, and that's why none of the villains have really any depth to them or background. Like, even the main killer in this movie, what do we know about him besides...
Absolutely nothing.
Well, he sharpens his blade the wrong way, but what else do we know?
He loves coloring his hair.
He's so simple-minded, he thinks that if someone identifies him, that he could just dye his hair black and that face will actually blend in with the rest of the crowd.
He's legitimately, though, fucking terrifying, though. This guy is scary as shit.
No, he is.
He's very intimidating looking. He's got his face is so, like, fucking structured and just, like, chiseled out of stone. Yeah. And he just looks so fucking intense.
When Bridget Nielsen's driving by in her Jeep after the...
Yeah.
And he just looks at her, the slow-mo shot they do of him just staring at her, I'm like, that guy has, like, so much fucking rage just in his face.
I saw this movie in 1986 at the theater with my dad when I was 10 years old.
Holy shit!
And then I watched it several times, like, through the rest of the 80s, like, my grade school and junior high years. And then I just kind of, like, pushed it to the back of my mind and didn't watch it again for well over 20 years. And rewatched it probably 7 years ago, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I've watched it a couple times since then. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's not by no means in my favorite, you know, top six or seven Stallone movies, but I think it's, you know, pretty fun.
Well, it was made by with a $25 million budget and made $160 total.
That's not bad.
No, it's amazing. It's a huge success, but it was totally panned. It has terrible ratings everywhere you go. This movie is basically known as just crap. I mean, Stallone never even made a sequel.
I don't get that. I don't understand, like, the hate for it. I, like, truly, I got just being, like, I, as much as I'm, like, objectively being, like, I love this movie, I just, and the hate for it, it's not a bad movie.
Well... Here's the thing.
That's debatable. It's enjoyable, but that doesn't mean it's a good movie.
That's a good summation of it. Yeah, enjoyable, but okay, maybe it's not the best. All right, yeah.
Well, no. How about this? Let's put it in almost the same exact category as Commando.
Okay, yeah.
No one really thinks Commando is a good movie, right? Like, nobody... It's not, you know, and I'm not going to go as far as Citizen Kane. Like, no one even thinks it's a Terminator. Nobody thinks it's Rambo, right?
Right.
This is not any of those either. And this has so many tropes and it has such cheesy one-liners, which I'm sorry, Stallone is nowhere near as good as delivering one-liners as Arnold. I mean, can we just all say that?
Agreed.
His delivery, and I'm not going to, like, just bash this movie, but the one thing I will say I was a little disappointed with, his delivery is not really good. I was really excited about it because Stallone has this really weird dark side to him where, like, he makes things almost unenjoyably dark. Like that fourth Rambo movie, that is so dark. It's almost not even like a popcorn fun flick. It's almost like...
No, dude, that is a dark, brutal, like sadistic, uber violent fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I love that one.
Yeah, I love it for what it is, but it's not enjoyable exactly. It's just like...
He was supposed to be in Beverly Hills Cop when that was being, you know, lifted off the ground, but then it dropped out. Do you think this was him basically saying, well, fucking, I'm going to make my own Beverly Hills Cop movie, and this is my version, because, you know, it takes place basically, well, it's not in Beverly Hills, but it's in the Los Angeles area. He's playing a cop. I mean, do you think he was like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to make my own. And he wrote the script and all that shit.
That's 100% true.
Because this came out only like 2 years after Beverly Hills Cop did.
Well, sort of. Like, they said they passed on his idea, but under really good terms. They even hired Bridget Nielsen, his fiance, to be in Beverly Hills Cop. And everything was all good with them. They parted in good ways because they said, it's cool, but it's just more money than we want to spend. Then after he made Rocky IV, he had a license to do whatever. Like, once people like saw that, like, yeah, whatever you want.
All right.
So he actually agreed to do Over the Top with Cannon. And then he said he wants to do this, though. So they said, okay, they changed things with the contracts, and they said, you could do this under Warner Brother, but we're going to be the producers, the Cannon guys, and you could go ahead and do your movie because they trust him after Rocky IV. So basically what he did was he repurposed his changes for Beverly Hills Cop and really wanted to do it. So it wasn't exactly fuck you. It was just, well, I really like my idea, though, so I'm going to make it happen. Because now, you got to remember, Stallone's ego is through the roof right now. He's telling directors what to do. He directed Rambo 2, not the guy they credited. He directed this, not the guy they credited. Like, his ego is through the roof right now. And basically, if he felt, I have a good idea, though, and then he said, I'm going to repurpose it and make it anyway. And then they gave him the green light to do this, and then Over the Top. Between Rocky IV, this, Over the Top, like, this was his prime. And I'm not saying, like, these were his best works. Like, those two are not, obviously. But his name was huge right now.
Oh, this is the time where his star was burning as bright as it ever did in his whole career, ever.
Yeah.
Because of 1985, Rambo 2 and Rocky 4. I mean, he was a star, obviously. That shot him to in a completely different fucking level after those two movies.
That's a hell of a 1-2 punch. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And he was hoping to make this 3 and then Over the Top 4. He wanted to make it an old Rocky combo, but it didn't turn out that way. The last two shots were weaker.
I don't know if you guys can do it. Over the Top is just awful. I hate that movie.
Alex, I gotta go. I'll talk to you guys later.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, really?
Dude, I'm 20 years older than you. That was a staple of my youth.
See, I was misled by it. I was like, I always thought it was just going to be this, you know, basically like popcorn movie of like just giant dudes arm wrestling. And to find out, I didn't get the arm wrestling until the last like half hour. I was so mad.
For the most part, yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? What about on top of the pinball machine?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that fucking incredible sequence with the two teenage boys arm wrestling.
With that shit all over his face. Oh, God. Yeah, I watched it last night. After we watched Cobra, I watched Cobra 2 times in 1 week for this movie, which I really don't do, because I really got into this. Like, as much as I'm sorry, Pat, I'm going to make fun of this a lot, but I really...
Make fun of it, dude. That's fine.
I like it, though. I really like
it. It's easy. It's pizza. That's all it is.
Dude, he cut pizza with a scissor out of the refrigerator.
Hold on. We'll get there. Let's start at the beginning. Just,
oh, you want to walk through this thing?
Not scene by scene, but let's come on. I mean, you have to respect the narrative of this movie.
Yeah, really. Like, I didn't know we had to do a walkthrough of Cobra. Like, holy shit. Like, I was just going to get to all the machismo, the matchstick in his mouth, the glasses in darkly lit rooms, the overcoat, the car.
Fine, let's just jump in. The first fucking scene of the movie, it's got these businessmen in suits and ties and some sewer somewhere clanking axes over their heads. Some fucking satanic ritual that they don't even explain what the fuck is going on. And I don't know if you noticed this. There was two pool tables in that room. Did you notice that?
No.
So
fucking pool tables. I'm not making this up. It's just like in Camp Out Nightmare 6 when they had a fucking washing machine on the front porch next to the barbecue grill. They had two fucking pool tables down there. I guess they clank axes for a while and then decide shoot some pool.
That's crazy you said that, because I didn't notice it until I was watching the Blu-ray. I was like, this cult is made up of members. It's got shirt and tie guys. It's got like blue collar guys. I'm pretty sure one guy's wearing a fucking hard hat in there to like clearly show that he's like a construction worker.
There was a cop. There was a construction guy. There was a bunch of like fucking a tax accountant looking guys.
They had a mailman with a long black sock.
So fucking random, man. You'd think if they were going to go down into this pit of hell and bang axes around, they'd have put on some kind of like fucking cloaks with hoods or something. They got a goddamn suits. Like, shit. What the fuck is happening here?
That's making fun of. Yeah, no, it's also, but also like the intro itself, his narration, and then
oh god,
the narration is absurd. But I absolutely fucking love when a movie does that kind of shit, and then it ends with like a bang, boom, title screen, Cobra.
A violent crime every 25 seconds, a murder every 24 minutes, and 250 rapes a day.
And here's the motherfucker that's gonna put an end to all that shit.
Yeah, because this is where the law stops and he begins.
That's right.
Like, I don't know what's worse, the lines he read or how he read them.
The one that, no, when he, I will say, when he says, like, you're the disease, I'm the cure, that one does work. That's about it.
Yeah, that does work.
That whole scene in the grocery store, it's fantastic, man.
I don't understand, though. Like, what's the... So, first of all, the guy who plays the fucking shooter in that, he plays that character in every movie he's fucking in.
Of course. What else is he gonna do?
I didn't look him up, but I know I've seen that guy before.
He's in Maniac Cop 2. He plays the same exact person. But he is, like, giving it his all, which I love. But I don't understand the whole, like, when he's like... Let's the one guy go. He's like, yeah, you're good. And the guy's just slowly walking. And he's like, okay. And then he starts to run. And then it goes into that insane slow-mo, which has to take up. Clearly, they made it slow-mo to, like, eat up time of the movie. Because it's like 3 minutes worth of fucking slow-mo of this guy running through probably like a 10-foot fucking shopping aisle. And then he just fucking shoots him anyway.
Right. And then he shoots him again as he's falling to land into a Christmas tree. Oh, yeah, let's not forget, this is a Christmas movie,
this
guys.
This is like a fucking low-key Christmas movie, which I never fucking knew. Like, in the same vein as, like, well, Lethal Weapon's a little more in your face with the Christmas stuff, but still, this is a movie that I can completely see people being like, oh, yeah, I watch this every year in December.
Yeah, Die Hard, Trancers, all these movies are Christmas movies. All right. That's all.
You're really putting me on to Trancers. I might have to actually fucking
yes!
thing now.
I knew it would work. It happens every time.
This fucking bad guy that they want you to hate him immediately because he pulls his motorcycle up into a handicapped parking spot. He walks in, he's bumping into people, he's dressed like Charles Bronson from Death Wish with the fucking black sock cap and the fucking trench coat. Then he whips out his gun and just starts blowing away the produce section. He must hate fruit.
That's what confused me. Why is he shooting food?
Yeah, he's not shooting.
He blows away melons. He starts shooting on potato chips. Then he blows away a whole fucking shopping cart full of groceries.
Yeah, nothing makes sense here. Like, as he's doing that, I'm like, oh, he's not so bad of a guy. Maybe he just wants to, maybe he used to work there and he hates his boss. He's shooting the place up. He's not even killing anyone. This ain't so bad. Then you get to, go, you're free, go. And then he shoots the guy. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening here? This movie is off the rails already, and we're 6 minutes in.
Yeah,
so
his little fucking homemade bomb with the fucking doorbell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to blow this place up. Go ahead, I don't shop here.
Yeah, I don't shop.
That is a good line, man. That makes me smile every time he says that.
Yeah, his lines were working here, but as we go, they fall apart. But... that whole thing, he throws a knife in his chest, and then he says, drop it, just so he can say, yeah, I said drop it. I'm not in trouble, right? I told him to drop it.
I like how that SWAT team shows up outside the store, and they're like, call the Cobra.
Yeah,
and he comes, he fucking shows up in, like, that 1930s Studebaker, or whatever the fuck it is. I mean, is that the coolest fucking car they could come up with?
Car? Oh, no, it's a Merc.
I know, I looked it up, and that was actually one of Stallone's cars, apparently. Like, he actually owned that car.
Yeah, that's a James Dean car, really. That's what James Dean used to drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got introduced to Andrew Robinson, who, oddly enough, is in Transfers 3. He's the main villain.
I'm just saying, he's Hellraiser. Also, the weird, sadistic military school barber in Child's Play
3. Child's Play 3, yep.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
A little tidbit about him, I think. I don't know if it was on the commentary or if it was behind the scenes, but... I know this is kind of playing into the end of the movie, but he originally, I think in the original run of this screenplay or script, whatever you want to call it, he was supposed to be a part of the whole cult thing. At the end, Stallone was supposed to, like, they have like their exchange where then he punches him in the face, but it's supposed to be a little more dark, and Stallone was supposed to like rip his shirt off, and he was supposed to have all these like satanic cult like night slasher fucking tattoos and shit, making him be, oh, he was the one running the thing.
Yeah, instead of the waitress from Psycho.
So, you know, fucking Stallone cracks open a warm can of Coors beer and takes a sip.
Disgusting.
More machismo.
I found it kind of ironic that this movie's obviously called Cobra, and they had that original Coors, and then years later in Cobra Kai, that was Johnny's beer of choice also. Oh, original Coors.
And for the record, it's disgusting.
For the record, it's a phenomenal beer if you're just looking for a standard type off-the-shelf beer.
Anymore. I'm strictly liquor, but Coors never did me wrong.
Really? Regular Coors?
Regular Coors, yes.
Ugh. So yeah, the machismo in this movie is out of this world. Stallone stuffs his gun in his pants instead of a holster where he can blow his dick off if he does something wrong. Like,
I was saying, he's just waiting for it at this point.
Never takes his sunglasses off, has a matchstick in his mouth.
Yeah, instead of putting his knife in a sheath, he puts it between his ass cheeks. Everything is tough guy here. Yeah, it's unbelievable what he does. We could also talk about, like, the music in this movie is out of this world.
I have so many notes about those songs. It's such a stock, generic 80s movie soundtrack song, but...
So stock.
No, my whole thing is this thing goes on a little too long. They should have ended it at...
It's 85 minutes.
That's what I mean. It's like...
it goes on too long.
No, I mean... Back myself into a corner here.
Yeah, he's like, man, I have no excuse for this one. They made it as short as they possibly could.
Not too long. It's... Some of the set pieces are too long. Like that hospital chase, and then a scene, and then the car chase... You could have cut one of those out. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It's just me. It's whatever.
I do like that whole setting at the end when they go to that motel. And then, well, you know what really bothers?
Could have ended there, maybe.
It could have. But then what's with the foundry scenes? Like, why do these movies always have a foundry? I wasn't even crazy about the foundry scene in Terminator 2. Like,
what? Hold on. What's a fucking foundry?
It's like a factory, like
molten. Oh, okay.
Like molten steel and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Like,
okay.
Like, I don't know why that is always a thing in these movies, right? Like, isn't there a lot of these things like that?
Big fan of it.
It always goes on forever. I start losing the geographics of it all. I'm like, is this suspenseful?
It's funny because they're in that final chase and it's like, so they're in California. Like, they hide out in like fucking wine country. And then they end up there, which is funny. It's like, I don't really think a place like that would be out there, but that's whatever.
Right. It makes no sense. Just like a shooting range wouldn't be right next to the police chief's desk. Like, why could you walk from his desk right to the shooting, like to the practice thing? I'm like, what is going on here? This movie is so weird. Basically, this movie was chopped to just give you the action stuff. Like, you know, you have them kill this woman in the car, and then Bridget Nielsen sees his face, and then from there we go into this chase in the hospital. So he dyes his hair because he actually thinks he won't be found because she saw him, but he dyes his hair so he'll be okay, and now he has to kill her. Like, there's all these guys, and he goes alone. Now, is he the leader of this cult?
Yes.
Like, how did this guy get anybody on board to be in this cult? What?
Yeah, he's not like a Jim Jones or like a David Koresh. He doesn't have like the charisma.
The charisma or the charm or anything. Like, how did he create this?
Probably ask people if they want to go to hell with me. I don't know.
Yeah, he asked everybody that. Like, so the point of the cult is we kill the weak, so only the strong are here. Why? And how do you know people are weak? Because they're in their car? Because you bump a woman from behind, she's suddenly weak? Because she said, hey, asshole, how the hell can you possibly hit me?
I love how that woman walks, the cop lady who's, you know, in the cult, she walks up to that woman's window and goes, I'm like, really sorry. Do you think there's like any damage? It's like, bitch, you just walked past the motherfucking bumper. Look at it. Is there any fucking damage?
Do I think there is? I don't know. You were back there, isn't
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
So what's with this whole thing where the cops keep insisting that there's only one killer and Stallone has to endlessly say, well, maybe there's more people involved. Like, how about asking all the eyewitnesses at the car chase where three cars were going after you just now, how could it be one guy doing this? Why don't you ask the woman who's being chased if she saw a bunch of people kill the woman instead of just one guy, or a bunch of people just chased her? Like, this is not hard to figure out, guys.
Well, I think that's the problem. It was like the leftovers from that original script where it was supposed to be like the Andrew Robinson's character was supposed to be a part of it, like being like one of the higher ups in the police department. I think it was like,
oh, so he wants to make it look like one guy.
Yeah, but because that was cut out, it's choppy for the rest of the movie.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
My theory. I don't know if that's legit. I just think that it's my just mental gymnastics for it. So.
How about when they go to kill her in the parking garage? That I made a mistake. That actually comes before the hospital scene. Yeah. So in that parking garage, this dude is like trying to rape her but asking permission at the same time.
I gotta say though, the effect for when they drive the van into the security guard, hold
that, that's fucking gold. I watched that like 10 times.
It is amazing.
That is the best scene of the movie.
They absolutely fuck that guy up. And they show all of it. I love it.
I laughed so hard. And then when I showed my wife, she was, of course, looking on her phone. I said, no. We have to rewind this. You gotta look at this. There's something so funny about it, right?
Well, it's just because, like, anytime in a movie, especially at that age, they never show the impact of when a car drives into something, especially a person.
Right.
So showing it actually like, all right, we're going to kill this guy this way. And they show all of it. That's what I love about it. It's amazing.
So but back to earlier in the movie, when he first arrives at his apartment after the whole grocery store scene, the scene with the fucking Hispanics that are sitting in the car, you know, he pulls up and he honks and the guy immediately sticks his finger out the window and goes, fuck you. It's funny. And then they revisit those same group of people later, but it's like nothing. It's like, why was that even in there?
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, he was like, was he supposed to like befriend these guys and they're like his like little neighborhood watch kind of
either that, or if they would have come back later in the movie and like actually done something like bad. But it's like they were just throwaway parts,
right?
Just for him to be a tough guy because he ripped the guy's shirt, and then later in the movie when he showed up they were all like cool with him and shit, so right. And then he goes in his apartment. Okay, here's the pizza part.
No, by the way, before that, though, wait, let's... he lives here. Like, he didn't just move here last week, right? So why is this a new thing? Is this the first time that these guys are sitting in their car? And what do they do, just sit in their car 16 hours a day and then go to sleep somewhere? Like, like, why are we acting like he's parking here for the first time? Like, that kind of a scene, and it wouldn't be weird if that just happened, but now that you see these guys are there every day, now it's like, well, wait a minute. Why are we acting like this is new that first time when you hit him? And then when he rips his shirt down, the guy's wearing a wire.
What? No, I did not notice that.
Taped to his chest, like a...
That probably was, if I had to guess, I would guess that was probably just like, it was a mic that was wired in, because he probably was supposed to like record audio like while he did that. And that was probably that. Stallone probably like ripped too hard because, you know, he's got to be the tough guy.
So then he walks into his apartment and they're playing that amazing song, "Working Too Hard, Trying to Make a Living." And it's so fucking ridiculous. And so he walks over to the refrigerator, he grabs the pizza, but did you realize he gets it out of the freezer?
Yes,
not the refrigerator part. It's the top part.
He's such a tough guy. He eats frozen pizza
He cuts it with scissors that are made for cutting paper. It's not even like those scissors they make for kitchen stuff to cut food.
So macho.
Yeah, slices off a triangle, shoves it in his fucking mouth. Well,
the only thing more macho would be if he poured Chinese food and pizza and beer into a blender and then made himself a protein shake.
It's insane, too, because he also grabs his like gun cleaning equipment. It was also in the freezer. I'm like,
in an egg carton, yeah.
Yeah, like how is that going to work?
Also, so then that's when we learn about the Night Slasher, because he's watching the news report and they say they call him the Night Slasher and he's killed 16 people. He kills anyone, businessmen, Asian immigrants, the elderly, and a sexually assaulted child, they say. Like, yeah, they're like wanting you to know this guy is like the worst of the worst.
Well, no, I think they were telling us even Michael Jackson joined this cult. It was the 80s, dude.
It's crazy. I didn't catch the kid part until this recent rewatch, and I was like, oh shit, they were really trying to make this guy like a...
Yeah, they went for it with that one.
And you know what's really weird? A cut scene, you know, they made Stone look like such a badass with the egg carton and the scissors and the pizza. He actually brushes his teeth with a hand grenade. You guys know that? He just puts it in his mouth and explodes the plaque off his teeth.
The Satanist people, or whatever they call them, like, they're intimidating and they're cool, but when they put those pantyhose on their face, all I can think about is Raising Arizona. Have you ever seen that with Nicolas Cage? He robs that fucking grocery store. He's got a pantyhose on his head, and it's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. So when I see this, that's all I can think of.
Chris, do you have an attitude problem?
Yeah, a little one.
Oh, shit, I fucked it up. Damn it.
Like, that line was terrible. Like, these macho... I don't know. I'm sorry. And Stallone doesn't even have the right walk of a tough guy. He doesn't have the right anything of a tough guy. He doesn't walk like he fills the space and he owns it. He walks like... Yeah, he's just not Arnold. He's better at, like, what he did before he started competing against Arnold. But he was great at the Rambo stuff. So I shouldn't say that.
As much as I love this movie, it is a very weird Sylvester Stallone character.
And that fucking... That knife that the main guy has, you know, with the fucking... If I had... That's, like, the coolest fucking knife ever. If I had that knife, I would want to run around and just kill people. Because why else would you have a knife like that? It's got the coolest fucking blade and then those spikes on the other part. What else are you going to do with that except mutilate people? Yeah.
That knife is not for, like, cutting open boxes and this, that, the other. It's for quickly killing people.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can buy that knife online.
Oh, I'm sure you can, yeah.
Oh, yeah. As if Stallone wasn't macho enough in this movie, when they do have that car chase, he's able to pull his wheel and do a 180 and still keep going backwards while aiming a machine gun at the people chasing him. And when he shoots their car, their hood blows straight up and the whole thing explodes.
Boom. So, okay.
Then he turns the wheel and he goes forward again.
This might be the best car chase scene I have, best slash worst car chase scene I have ever seen.
There's so much going on, but in such a weird, like, perception. Like, they cut it in the weirdest way. Because, like, I didn't realize until rewatching it, I didn't realize that he is chasing them. I always thought they were chasing him.
Well, they were at first.
At first, because they tried to kill them. But
they're going down the sidewalks, blowing over newspaper machines, hot dog stands, bikes, driving down the fucking sidewalk. Then they end up on the expressway. Then he's weaving through traffic like fucking Dale Earnhardt.
Dude.
Then he hits the brakes and does that 180. It keeps going in reverse in a perfect straight line as he's firing that fucking gun out the window.
Guy's senses are amazing. Also, I love the seatbelts in that car that are like those insane. It's like straight up like, all right, you're getting like a death like there. It's like the fucking...
He drives off the second floor of a parking garage, lands on the street, keeps on going, doesn't miss a fucking beat.
No.
He flips on his nitrous booster. Of course, he's got that switch.
And there's no payoff whatsoever to that. Like, it wasn't even shot properly. Like, when you hit nitrous, you want to see some, like, boom, like, some amazing, you know, cinematography here with that stuff. He hits it, and it's like...
But yeah, if you're going to do that, at least speed the footage up. Like, make it look like it's going fast.
And then they get to the part of the road that has the most hills in the history of the United States. Every 10 feet is a goddamn hill. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, and they're catching air on every single bump.
They go over like fucking 15 of those hills.
It's insane.
And I've played, like, granted, because I know it's California, Grand Theft Auto 5 did a pretty accurate depiction of that map. There's that section. There's only like 3 of those hills. So they like cut that shit like 10 times. Just to make it look like they were going over, like, multiple hills. It's fucking insane. That car would have been destroyed after the third one.
Then he drives, he fucking ramps through that giant boat and does, like, a corkscrew flip in the air.
How does he go up? Why would he go up?
He goes up, and then the car finally says, I give enough. Yeah.
Yeah, did you see the car? Did you see the tires in the back? It's like everything came apart from the frame and everything. It's like totally...
No, I didn't notice.
Like, oh, he's got a couple scratches. He's stumbling. Like, I'm like, no, motherfucker. You both would be dead or... Yeah,
Stallone, all Stallone has is a little cut over his eye that's just got like some tape on it. Out of all of that, that's all he
has. Why does the cult just drive back to their sewer hole or wherever they're from? Like... Why wouldn't you pull over, walk up to them, and cut their throats?
Yeah, circle around. He had a double-barrel shotgun. Circle around, gun them both down.
Yeah, instead of shooting his headlights out, how about shooting their heads, their actual heads?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I like how he blows both of Stallone's headlights out as soon as he sees them. Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about Bridget Nielsen for a second.
Yeah, because she'd be more miscast in this movie.
Fucking glorious head of 80s hair, which is the complete opposite of what she looked like in Rocky IV when she had like a fucking crew cut.
Oh, when they show the crew cut when she's posing with the robot.
It's crazy that, yeah, I wonder if that was her real hair at the time because it looked like just a little bit longer than the way she had it worn in Rocky IV. So maybe that was her actual natural hair.
Yeah.
But her character's name is Ingrid Knutson. That's the best fucking name they could come up for this girl. Ingrid. And then when they're looking her up on the computer at the police station, it says she's 6 foot tall, 127 pounds and 31 years old. 127 pounds.
In real life, she was 22 and Stallone was 39 and they were married a couple months after this.
She was only 22 when they made this.
Yep.
Wow.
Holy shit. That scene when she's modeling, like, with all those robots from Chopping Mall.
Oh, I thought it was the one from Rocky IV was in there.
Well, I think she was jealous that Polly had that robot, so she wanted to get some of her own.
Happy birthday, Polly.
This came out the same year as Chopping Mall, so I think they just used the same robots. But she's got, you know, all those different wigs. But there's that one part. She's got, like, some fucking... The wig looks horrible. It's, like, this gray, curly wig. But she's got, like, that white leotard that's barely covering her.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude. She looked incredible.
Yeah, she doesn't look like a damsel in distress. And listen, her acting was actually very good. When I say miscast, she is 6 feet tall. Like, when there's a damsel in distress, they normally don't look like they can handle themselves.
Right.
And she does. And she just doesn't look like, oh, God, these guys are coming after me. Like, you need a dainty little girl,
yeah,
you know, who looks like you need help. There's a million examples, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they should have cast the girl from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Dottie.
No, you're right, though, because, like, that's the thing is, like, with her. But I think because of seeing her in Rocky IV, because she's, like, such a stone-cold robotic fucking bitch in that movie.
Right.
Like, it's hard to see her as anything other than that. Rocky IV was her, like, big forefront into, like, the movie industry, right?
Right. She did Rocky IV. She did Red Sonja, Rocky IV, Cobra, and Beverly Hills Cop Part 2 in consecutive years.
Yeah, so it's tough to see her as this, like, person who's in peril. Like, she's always been able to hold her own.
Dude, she was Red Sonja. Held your own. She was a warrior.
And that movie is awful.
And it's awful, yeah.
It's fucking horrible.
Red Sonja, a.k.a. Conan the Barbarian, like, in a half.
Yeah, Conan Part 3, but it's not really Conan.
Exactly.
No. It's god awful, and I'm a huge Arnold guy, and that's the one movie I do not have in my collection. I cannot watch it.
It's tough.
I like when Stallone's associates, all the captain and all those other guys, they call, like, they go to the fucking meeting, like, up on top of that parking garage on the top level, just to talk to him for 10 seconds, just to say, you know, almost every sicko in the city, shake him down, do what you do best. It's like, did we really have to drive all the way to the top of a fucking building for you to tell me this? You could have, like, told me in the hall or in the bathroom at the police station.
Yeah, I love the idea of, like, this that crew. They're called the Zombie Squad, but I'm
Zombie Squad.
It's like, there should have been, like, a 90s or 80s, like, 80s, 90s cartoon show about the Zombie Squad. Because I'm like, where are the rest of these guys? Like, we only get Cobra and Gonzalez. Where are the rest of these guys? Like,
yeah, none.
So then we get the montage scene where Stallone's going around the city questioning people. Hookers, fucking porno theaters, tattoo. And the song that's playing is called Angel of the City. And as I'm watching it this time, I'm hearing the guy's voice and I'm like, God damn, that guy sounds familiar. And I thought, no, it can't be.
Is that Robert
It's Robert fucking Tepper. No easy way out.
I knew it.
I thought this guy went from doing one of the greatest songs in movie soundtrack history to doing Angel of the City in Cobra. I mean, I'm sure he got paid handsomely, but still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't care. But, oh my God. Yeah, is it wrong for me to say... See, I feel like if I said this about Commando, it would be almost insulting. So, I'll ask you, Ghoul, is it insulting to say that this movie is so bad it's good?
Oh, no, not insulting at all. It is so bad it's good. Objectively, this is one of my favorite Stallone movies. It's not a good movie.
Right, okay.
But it is. Like Commando, like compared, like, so Stallone did... He did four Rocky movies before this, which are all fucking A+. He's doing this. This is just for fucking money.
Money and a passion project, apparently.
Well, I was going to say, when he made this, I don't think it was a cash grab. I think he thought this was going to be like the start of another fucking franchise that he was going to do, but it just...
Let's talk about that. I guess we'll wrap up. I guess the only real thing to talk about at this point to wrap this up is, so you get this big shootout in the daytime with these bikers that show up at the motel. So they wanted to shoot that at night, but I think Stallone felt it would be more intimidating to, like, see them all coming from a distance or something. I forgot how they worded it, but so...
When bad shit happens in the daylight kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's all during the day, and it's not that amazing because the problem lies in, like, stuff like, how many guys can you shoot off of a motorcycle before it gets boring?
The motorcycle stunts, I will say, are insane in this movie. It's like Mad Max levels of, like, wild. But yeah, no, you're right. It's like...
Well, how many times can you see them just, like, kind of slide off the bike after getting...
It's the engine. They blow up. They fly in slow motion. Like, yeah.
It gets old after, like, 3, 4, or 5. That's like, okay. So now we're on the 9th guy getting shot off his bike. It's like, okay. But there is some funny stuff, like the guy who drives through the motel door. He just crashes into the wall, and then Sloan just shoots him. Yeah, there's stuff like that. Then we have that love scene real quick before they even come. I don't know.
Or you mean lack of love scene. Why didn't they show some fucking skin there?
The only movie love scene that matters in an actual movie plot-wise is Terminator. So.
And that was gross. I don't like Linda Hamilton. Especially not in that movie.
So real quick, earlier in the movie, when they're in the hospital and they got the police in there in Bridget Nielsen's room, and that sketch artist draws a picture of the Night Stalker or Night Slasher, did that drawing remind you of any specific person? It's not actually a real person. It's like a cartoon character. To me, it looked exactly like He-Man from the Masters of the Universe cartoon. I don't know if you guys watched that. Ghoul, you probably didn't because you're so much younger. Alex, did you watch He-Man?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I know.
That's all I could see when I looked at that fucking drawing was He-Man.
Wow. And Ivan Drago played He-Man.
Oh, God, that movie's garbage.
I love
it. I was so excited when that came out when I was 11, and it was dog shit.
Dolph Lundgren played so many awesome people. You got to do an episode on the fucking 1989 Punisher movie that he did.
That's funny you say that. We don't really think that Dolph Lundgren is a very good character actor or anything. Like, he doesn't have the charisma or, like, the presence or anything. Like, everything he does is kind of, like, not... It doesn't pop like these other guys. Like, he's not a...
That's why, so I suggest The Punisher and Dark Angel. Watch those two, because he basically plays himself, but he has it works, the roles he's playing. It's awesome.
Okay. I saw Dark, that's the one that, the other title, I Come in Peace or whatever?
Yeah.
I guess we could pretty much wrap it up, you know, at the, he fights the dude.
Let's bleed, pig!
Yeah, he calls him pig 87 times.
I want to go to hell with me!
Pig!
Pig! Like, all right, dude, I get it. You don't like that I took a job as a police officer. Can we move on from this narrative?
Oh, the best part is Stallone could have ended that shit immediately. His fucking pistol is in his waistband the entire fist fight. All he had to do was pull it out and blow the guy away. Boom. But he insisted on fist fighting and almost losing to this fucking massive, monstrous-sized human being. Like,
And this guy couldn't be a dumber guy. He pulls a Halloween 2 Michael Myers where he stabs the bed and she wasn't even in it. Like,
thank you. I have that in my notes. Could this be more of a blatant Halloween 2 ripoff, that scene where he stabs the mattress?
I thought the same exact thing. That whole hospital sequence is very reminiscent. It works well.
Then they switch to a Shining homage when he's stabbing through the door and Bridget Nielsen's got her face pressed against the wall and she's just watching that blade come through the door, just like on The Shining when fucking Olive Oil was watching that axe just come through the door over and over.
Oh, yeah.
It's an exact same recreation. Yeah, no.
Stallone definitely lifted those because he said he wanted to blend horror. Like, that's his whole thing with this movie. He wanted horror and action.
Like, the horror, like, the suspense horror elements are definitely there.
Yeah, dude. Like, my buddy, who's heavy into horror, and he's also a huge action fan, he told me several years ago, he was like, you know, Cobra can almost be considered like a quasi-slasher. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. And then when I rewatched it this week, I was like, you know, it kind of is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's like is the first Terminator. I consider the first Terminator movie to be a slasher movie. 100% there.
Yeah.
Like, all the your tropes, elements, everything, it's right there, works. So, plus, I mean, your fucking main villain is called the Night Slasher.
Yeah, exactly. He fucking slasher, it's right there.
It's literally said. Yeah, they had this big fight, but they couldn't make it any more obvious that they were going to drive a hook through this guy. They show a hook passing by him 40 times. Right? Like, as soon as you saw that hook just, like, dragged by the chains past and hit the back of him, you knew he was going to end up on that hook, right?
Oh, yeah. Talk about foreshadowing.
Yeah, right. They do that, and I gotta say, major disappointment. I found the line where he told the guy, what was the thing before he drops the match on the guy and lights him on fire? What was that line?
It was, shit. I think it was like, you have the right
to remain silent.
Yeah, makes no sense at all, number one, and that was delivered terribly.
It's funny, like, I love the, so I'm like, if a slow-mo person getting set on fire is always going to be awesome to me. Also, I love how that, like, that guy is, like, set up throughout the movie, in the back half of the movie, to be, like, the slasher's, like, second in command, and he's always got a sniper rifle, but he fucking sucks at shooting it. He can't get a shot. Funny, I was like, that whole end fight could have been resolved. All Bridget Nielsen had to do was, instead of watch, all she had to do was go find one of these gigantic shotguns that these guys have and shoot the fucking Night Slasher, and boom, it's over.
Right. It was just him shooting lemon trees and then that chick shooting, the security guard. Yeah, I love how Bridget Nielsen's standing right there in front of the security guard station in the foundry. She's yelling, come help me. This woman sees her and shoots a security guard and doesn't shoot her.
Right.
You guys are so dumb. So he lifts him up with the hook and then he...
Oh, that's a total Texas Chainsaw Massacre homage, even if it was unintentional, just like when Leatherface lifts Pam up and puts her on that fucking hook. It looked exactly the same.
Absolutely.
Stallone's a closet horror fan.
He is. No, I think he does like Texas Chainsaw. I think that actually was one of his inspirations, believe it or not. I remember.
Was this supposed to be a loose sequel?
No. It's not like Texas Chainsaw 3 and 4. It's not a loose sequel.
Hey, I love Texas 3.
So he brings him into the fire, which should have been amazing, but instead it was cut really quick and totally anticlimactic.
That was cut?
Well, I felt it was. Like, didn't you feel like...
Oh, I didn't know if you know, because it feels like it, because, like, I feel like there should have been more to him, like...
Right.
Like, screaming or something, but he just goes into it and just, like, accepts...
And it's over.
Yeah, he just accepts the fact that he's about to be lit on fire. I was like, I would expect a little bit more from that fucking guy.
Anything, right. It just ends. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's the end of that. I thought that would be a big thing, but okay. So it's over, and then we get some more horrible 80s music as he punches his police chief and gets on the Harley and rides off into the sunset. That's Cobra. So
rides off in one of the criminal's motorcycles.
A dead man's bike. He just takes it. So that's that. So that's Cobra. Wow. Let's see, how many times are you going to call a police officer pig out of 5 for this one, Chris?
I was bouncing back and forth between a 3.5 and a 4. Can't quite give it a 4, so I'll say a strong 3.5 out of 10. It's very enjoyable. It's very cheesy. And like I told you, this is not the type of movie I was necessarily drawn to growing up, this hardcore action shit. But this is one that I can still sit down and watch and really have fun with.
Right. The ghoul into your bed.
I got pigs in my family, so I got to refrain from that.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I think I'm not trying to disparage police officers anyway. I'm just saying, okay, how many times are you going to call Cobra pig out of five?
I will call Cobra 4 out of 5 times because this movie, it's fucking solid. There's no, like, filler, no cut, anything like that, that is just, like, fucking there, just be there, and it fucking just gets to the point that where you want to be in a fucking action movie. Blends the horror perfectly, so, yeah, 4 out of 5 for me.
Wow, nice. Now, listen, I'm not saying this is jumping to, like, some really high point of my action pile or anything, but I will say I really got into this. Even before I talked to the ghoul, he didn't, like, convince me over the week how good it was or anything. Like, on my own, I actually started to appreciate this movie. I saw it 2 times and enjoyed it a lot the second time. Like,
nice.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie that I could definitely, like, I want to make it a part of my rotation. And to me, it's, I wouldn't say it's so bad it's good. I would just say serviceable, and it's really machismo, ridiculous 80s. So I'll just give it a 3.5 out of 5 as well. I definitely recommend people watch it. It's something you should watch. It is like, this is time capsule of, like, kind of everything you do wrong in the 80s. Like, when this whole boom is happening. So it's almost like the slasher boom of the 80s, but in the action version.
Oh, yeah. The action universe definitely had their slasher years also, as far as, like, oh, this is successful? Well, here's 50 more that we're going to do just like it.
And we're going to hire Gary Busey for most of them. I just wish I had a Cobra gun of my own and a night slasher knife of my own.
As soon as we get done recording today, I'm getting online to see how much it would cost to get one of those knives, because I'm going to go kill somebody.
Are you going to sharpen it the wrong way? He is so dumb. All right, that was Cobra.
And be sure to tune in this week. YouTube Live. We're doing a live YouTube show this Friday. So go to our YouTube channel Friday the 12th, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Dead Man's Party.